discipline of God, have, Lord, this wonderful privilege to talk to our Heavenly Father and to come before you, Lord, in worship, to come with expectancy, believing that you will move in our lives today. Thank you for all that you've done on last week. Thank you for how you brought us through many struggles and trials. And Lord, even blessed us despite all the things that could have happened. Father, you kept us, and for that we're grateful. Bless us now in the hearing of your word. I pray that it would sink deep into our heart and sprout and bring forth fruit, Lord, that we might be righteous and holy in your sight. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Access to God's goodness. I want to ask you a question. Is it possible for us on our own to find God? Is it possible? Is it possible? In other words, God has to reveal himself to make himself available to us. Last week we talked about the goodness of God, and we said that God is good all the time. He cannot change the essence of his nature. He is a good God. But then we also added to that, we said that this goodness of God prompts God or moves God to reveal himself to people. In other words, he wants to show us his goodness to help us. Now, would any one of us have an argument with the fact that we need God? I don't think anybody would have any debate with that. We know that we need God. And sometimes in our moment of need, we get to the place where we feel like we're desperate and we've got to scheme and plan and come up with a strategy so that we can get to God. So we don't understand that God is already pursuing us. Yet we get desperate. God, I got to make this car payment and I need it right now. So let me think what I need to do. Let me figure out what I need to do. We become desperate. Or, all right, I've got an illness in my body, and I've got something that's going on, so we become desperate. And so we think in our desperation, in our attempt, or when we say we need God, that we got to find him. And not realizing that the goodness of God has already moved him to seek us. If you don't see the goodness of God, you're going to miss the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He condescended. He came down through time, into time, to redeem us. If you have this idea in your mind that all of a sudden you've got to find God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have faith and seek after God, but it's up to you on your shoulders. It's your responsibility to find God. We got a problem with that. We got a problem with that. When I read this passage concerning this woman with the issue of blood, I received an entirely new picture of what was going on here. Now, granted, I want to give the woman credit. She was in a dire situation. This issue of blood would have ended her life. She would have died. Amen? So let's be straight on that. Did she have the right to pursue God? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, she should have sought God. But I don't want you to think, as I had believed, it was up to this woman to find Jesus. Because, number one, Jesus didn't have to go that way. Do y'all see what I'm saying? He didn't have to make his robe available for her to touch it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you're saying to yourself, I need access to God, that's when your faith in God should take over. You should not rely on your strategy or on your technique. What you should rely on is that God's going to meet me. I don't know where he's going to meet me. I don't know how he's going to meet me. I'm going to go this way. But I know that he's going to meet me. The old folk had a good theology. They said if you'd make one step, he would make what? Two. Now, that was good. And I don't want you to think that you shouldn't make a step, but realize that God may make two, three, four, five, six, or you make it half steps and God to still meet you. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. So I want us to look at this. I want us to look at this differently. I want us to see this woman with the issue of blood, not so much with the burden on her shoulder to find God as with the goodness of God reaching out through Jesus to find her. Here's God in the flesh walking on that road, going down to heal somebody else, going down to bless someone else, and yet this woman sneaks in through the crowd, pursuing something from God that only God can give, and Jesus allows her, permits her, gives her a license. Yeah, you can touch me. You can touch me. You can reach out and touch me. Do you see what I'm saying? This is Jesus. This is the awesome power of God. So we know that God is great, and we know that God is good. As a matter of fact, God cannot change the essence of his nature. He said, I am God, I change not. Hebrews also tells us that he is God, the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. In other words, God's not going to wake up or one day because he doesn't go to sleep. But when you wake up, God, you're going to find, oh man, God's changed. You know, he's gotten moody. You don't have a moody God. Amen. Now you do have a God who judges sin, but his nature, who he is, of being good, does not, cannot, will not change. The immutability of God. He cannot change. Write that down. I just studied that. I figured out that word. I'd throw it on you. Now, let's look at this. Let's see where we're coming from, because when we actually look at the goodness of God, it's not limited to just a few folk. It's for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever will, anyone, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's his promise. That's God expressing his goodness. That's God reaching out to you. Are you with me? He's not going to change that. He's not going to one day say, you know what, y'all are so bad, I'm not going to love you anymore. That's not God. This God continues to love. Now, the wickedness of it all is where mankind says, I don't want God. We're studying the book of Revelation. I want to put in this shameless plug for our Bible study. We're studying the book of Revelation, and one of the things that we're discovering is that when Revelation is revealed, first of all, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to show you that Christ is Lord and that he wins, that no one else wins. But it also shows you how wicked people can be, how evil and how much they're willing to follow evil even to its fullest extent. When you read the book of Revelation, but you also read about worship. Worship. How that they worship God. Whenever God moves in heaven or he opens a seal, they worship God. They bless him. They praise him because he's Almighty God. Amen? But here's Christ, here's God in the flesh showing himself, revealing himself. So when you have that in mind, you see that here comes this woman by faith. Her faith has said to her, we got to change the situation. 12 long years, this woman has had this constant problem. This constant problem, the issue of blood, 12 long years under the Jewish law. If she touched anyone, she could have been stoned to death. The Jewish law says you're unclean. You're just like a leper. You don't touch anybody. So can you imagine for 12 long years never having any personal contact with any other person? 12 long years. I don't know how long you've suffered with your problem. Maybe a week, maybe a month. Maybe you've been going that long with something you've been dealing with. But things are about to change. If you would just crank up your faith, if you would just start saying, I need to find God, I will not settle in the condition that I'm in. You've got to pursue God while he pursues you. That's faith, amen? That's faith. I don't want you to get in your mind, that woman had no business touching Jesus. She was doing the best she could with what she had. All right? Now, you've been in a situation, you've done the best you could with what you had. All right, quit throwing stones at her. And you living in a glass house yourself. Amen. I've been desperate. As a matter of fact, let's look at this. Let's look at some what we call faith pitfalls. The first one is obligation. Everybody say obligation. There are people who believe that since God is all powerful and God is good, he is supposed to. He is obligated to bless me. He's God, right? Well, let me tell you something. Bill Gates is rich, right? But he's not obligated to give you a dime, right? Now, I don't want to equate God to Bill Gates, but what I'm saying is this. God is good, but he's not obligated. He's not obligated. Now, let me tell you what he did do. Through a covenant with his son, Jesus Christ. He said, now, if you'll sign your part of the will, I'm going to put in there whosoever will, let him come. All right? And all you got to do is say, I'm yours, Lord. Oh, bless his name. That way, what God says, now you're my responsibility. But now here's the catch. He doesn't have to work things out the way you want him to. Nor does he have to work them out when you want him to. I remember one time I came to the Lord in prayer, and James, I said to him, Lord, I'm in a hurry. God said, I'm not. He said, I got eternity. How much time you got? I said, I'm yours, Lord. Then there's the manipulation. You know, those people who like to make deals with God. God, if you give me this, then I'm going to do this for you. You know, kind of life I used to live. You know, I was out there and half drunk. Yeah, I just didn't get locked up, you know, come on. And now, granted, that's been a long time ago, but there are times I'd be driving, Lord, you let me just get home. I'm not going to do this no more. And you know what happened? Next week, get the paycheck. There you go. You see what I'm saying? And watch this now. Now that was manipulation. I wanted God to do something for me, so I'm trying to pull some strings. I'm trying to negotiate with him so that, okay, God, let's make a deal here. All right, but church folk do the same thing. Lord, you know I've been serving you a long time. You know, Lord, I've got all these wonderful things I've done for you, Jesus. Come on now, give me what I'm asking for. That's manipulation. You do not have to manipulate the power of God, because everything that you need, both for now and eternity, is already yours in Christ. As a matter of fact, one verse of scripture says, we're joint heirs with Christ. Now, wait a minute. Don't leave out of here thinking, I'm rich, I'll just go and ask God for everything now. That prodigal son did the same thing, and like Bullwinkle, like Rocky told Bullwinkle, that trick didn't work. You want what God has for you for today. You don't want tomorrow's blessing now. You want it for today. So quit using manipulation. Quit trying to make deals with God. He's already arranged for everything you need in Christ. Amen? Then the third thing, we can be very quick with this, is desperation. That's where this woman finds herself. And so she comes up with this little plan. All right? I'm going to call this little plan, grab it and go. Just get it and go. Just like when you go through your fast lane in the fast food store, you could go in, but you just drive in, pull up. Hey, I want this. Thank you. You pay them. You can even use your smartphone. They can scan it. So now you can really go. She wanted to be unseen. Rightly so. She wanted to be secretive about it because of her condition. What if somebody notices me? What if somebody catches me? Then I'm condemned. Well, the fact is, if her plan was going to work, she was going to be healed, which meant she was going to be clean. And so it wouldn't have mattered. Are you with me? But she had this little plan. You know how it is. On Sunday, we have our little plan. I just go to church, stay for a little while, and then I'm gone. Wait a minute. What about the in-between time? You don't just show up to get it and then go. There's something you need to do. There's something you need to involve yourself in. This woman said, if I can touch his robe, get in, get out, I'm gone. He continues on his way. I continue on my way. I'm healed. Thank God. Jesus said, hold up. Now, it's not in the text, but in Luke's gospel and in Mark's gospel, it said that Jesus stood still and said, someone touched me. Now, you know, when you're in school, remember y'all was back in school. I mean, some of the older folk, long time ago. Okay, so you got to think way back. But remember when you did something in class and the teacher called you out. You got a choice now. Either I admit it or I try to hide it. And the Bible said that woman came trembling and confessed why she had touched him. I want to argue with you that at this point, her desperation changed to faith. At first, she was desperate. Jesus was just one other cure, but the fact that she was bold enough. Now, granted, her belief in God, okay? I know some of y'all are saying, wait a minute, you saying her faith started when she stopped being desperate? Yeah, because now she's got to confess up, right? Anytime you don't acknowledge God in your faith, you don't have faith. Amen? You just got a little manipulation scheme. Amen? And y'all, you got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with that because there are a lot of people, amen, on TV that'll tell you just come to their little program, let them lay their hand on you. They don't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge the power of Jesus Christ. They're saying, God gave me the power to do it. Let me tell you something. If God didn't give you grace, you wouldn't even gotten up this morning. Are y'all with me? Now, I don't want to mess with your theology. But what I do want to mess with is these little schemes that we've got, grab it and go. Amen? Amen? Because that's why a lot of folk do not have a commitment to the church. Amen. It's because they got this grab it and go. I'm just here to get what I need and then I'm out of here. Come on, folks. You and I know that churches have to be involved in what we call a membership. Amen. Y'all didn't think I was going to talk about church stuff, did you? Well, that's the reason why I'm preaching. Amen. We all have to help one another and to work with one another. And we all have to acknowledge God. Let me show you what I mean by this. This woman had to have faith in God. She knew that God was good. In her Jewish culture, she knew that God was good. By the way, some of y'all need some verses on the goodness of God. It says in Psalm 52, verse 1, God's goodness endures continuously. In other words, it never ends. And then in Psalm 23, amen, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me, how long? All the days of my life. And then even after that, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. So God's goodness and his mercy is going to always be there. So that tells me I don't have to manipulate God. I don't have to get desperate to get a blessing from God. What I have to do is seek him. Let me show you how to do that. Let me show you how to do this. Here's how you access God. Number one, don't grab it and go. You don't just want to go into the presence of God without spending time with God. Are you with me? This mentality, you're actually saying that what I want is more valuable than the person that I need it from. Not recognizing that the person that you need it from, you may need him again. So it would be good to say, Jesus, may I touch you? right? That's just plain long good manner. Didn't your mama tell you don't take stuff without asking? Please, then say thank you. Here comes this woman, grab it and go. I ain't telling nobody what I'm doing. I'm just going, hey, I got it. I know technically that's stealing, but you can't steal from God. Jesus walked that way for her to touch him. He went down that road, He made his robe available for her to touch him. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament about Ruth, and you read in the book of Ruth that she was gleaning behind the servants of Boaz, and Boaz told her, drop some grain on the ground so she can pick it up. Now, here's Ruth just grabbing stuff, just grabbing it, not realizing Boaz put it there. So when she got home that evening and told Naomi, guess what I got? I got bushels of stuff. Not realizing that Boaz said, show her some kindness. Great God Almighty. Early this morning, God told the angels, show them some kindness. Show them some goodness. Show them some mercy so that you don't have to feel like I just got to grab it and go. Amen? So what is faith? Faith. Access to God by faith. Acknowledge God. The Bible says in all your ways. How many? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Watch this. This was not the only time this woman was going to need God. Amen? And if all she had to go on was go grab his robe, what about the fact that if Jesus died on the cross and then she didn't believe in him, now she needs a blessing. She can't grab his robe now. Amen? She's got to have true faith, and this brings us to the realization. Romans 10 and verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to hear what God says. That woman would have left not hearing what Jesus had to say about her. Jesus confirmed her faith and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Then the last thing is the seeking of God. Faith is seeking God. It's not just saying, I got it, now I can stop believing. It's every day seeking God. How many of y'all wake up every day and it's just natural, just almost like you going and saying, I'm going to get ready for work. I'm going to get ready for the day's activity. You automatically pray. How many of you do that? It's just a part of your life. You don't wake up one day and say, you know what, I got it. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. Spiritually, you would start dying. Spiritually, you would start losing strength because your attachment with God is what keeps you lively. Amen? Because you know him and because he welcomes you into his presence, that's why we seek him. Another verse I want to give you. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, what did I say? Without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. So that woman couldn't just come up with a scheme and say, I'm going to get him. She had to have faith in God. It is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder. There's the gift part right there. Of them that do what? Diligently seek him. In other words, our fulfillment is not in the gift, it's in the giver. Did you get that? You see what I did there, right? Our fulfillment is not to say, I got what I need, but I've got who I need. The fulfillment is to say, I've got God with me. There are a lot of people worried about health care in this country. Well, as long as you got a healer, amen? Now, granted, you want to do some of the other stuff like buy insurance if it's affordable, but you remember a time when you couldn't afford insurance. Hallelujah, somebody. And God, you didn't even have as much as a toothache because God took care of you. At least that's my testimony, amen? The tooth might have been raggedy, but it still didn't ache, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm telling you about what the Lord can do. People worried about things that you cannot change. When you need to set your mind on someone who never changes. God said, I'm going to take care of you. Why do you think he's brought us to this age, this generation that we're in, so that we could put our full dependence on him? on him and love him. Amen? Because he loves you and he's made himself available for you. Don't get on one side of the political spectrum or the other side. Just say, you know what? My kingdom is not of this world. I'm trusting in God. Whoever's in the White House, thank God, I pray for you. But I know who's in glory. Amen? Because he's the one that will take care of me every day of my life. People are falling victims. They're blaming this one. They're saying, I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm just so glad to be alive every day. I ain't got time to argue about what is, what ain't. I don't worry about it. Because guess what? Every day of my life, the Lord blesses me with the same measure of good health and strength. And I praise God for that. Anybody else want to thank him for that? Amen? He's worthy. All right, very quick, I'm going to close here. We're going to close. Here's the warning. Let's get some takeout things. I got one last thing I want to share with you that will help us to seek God. Help us to seek God. Here's some faith warnings. First of all, you don't want to get into this thing where you're coming up with your own recipe. All right? You don't want your own recipe. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The recipe is already written in the book. It's in the book. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Get in that Bible. You will find out that even though your specific need may not be exactly what somebody else has, but the Holy Spirit will do this. He will lead you to the place in the scripture so that now you're believing on God's word. See what I'm saying? I remember one church, they had this thing where said, well, if you want healing, just go down there and get some water out of the commode and drink some water. What? Nah, I ain't going there. And then there are people that believe, you know, they go to Jerusalem and they dip some water out of the Jordan River and they bring it back and they say, this water is going from the Jordan River. I'm going to sprinkle this water on you. That's just Jordan River water. Same rain that came in the Missouri River has fallen down the Jordan River. Ain't no difference. You see what I'm saying? Because you got the same God. Your blessing does not come through things. It comes from God. It might come through individuals, but it's from God. Remember, don't come up with your own recipe. Now, I'm a living example of that. I'm a living example. When I start out on a trip, what would I do? Make that little X over in the corner of your windshield. Amen? Or if the black cat crosses your path, you turn your hat around 3 times. Right? Then all of a sudden, I ran over the black cat. I said, now what? Don't come up with your own recipes. Go by what God put in the book. That way you won't have to worry about somebody else following your recipe and dumb old Roman Coleman told me to do this and it didn't work. I'm telling you what's in the book. And it does work. Amen. Second thing is, seek God, not things. Yes, you need healing, but that's the thing. Yes, you need a new car. But that's the thing. Yes, you need food to eat. That's the thing. Seek God. Matter of fact, let me make it simple. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Seek God. Seek God. Then the last thing, give him glory. Give him glory. Matter of fact, we come to church specifically every Sunday. I'm not talking about being noisy. You don't have to be noisy like me. I grew up in the country. I told y'all that. And the animals would not come to you if you didn't yell at them. All right? So I'm from the country, and I just got the noise in me, Lisa. I just can't help it. All right? I'm from the country. You don't have to be noisy, but you do have to give him glory. You do have to recognize that God has done these marvelous things in your life. And before I leave church today, I want to let God know that I'm thankful. Amen. What's destroying this generation is ingratitude. Amen. Ingratitude. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start getting older and getting out of bed becomes a little bit of a challenge and you wondering what aches and what don't ache and you get out of bed and it don't ache, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I could barely walk on this foot yesterday. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It'll come to you naturally. Naturally. But give him glory. Give him glory. He's certainly worthy. We've got a wonderful God. Wonderful God. and he deserves all the glory. Now, let me tell you this story. I don't want you to leave this passage. This woman was desperate, but you don't have to be desperate. You have a good God who's seeking you. I learned something. It's called the attitude of helplessness. They did a test, scientific study, and they had a dog. Now, some of you all who are animal lovers, you're not going to love this. They had a dog, and over here was a pad that was, every now and then they'd shock it, and the dog would jump over onto the other area where it was not shocked. So over here, they shocked, dog jump over here. Then they decided, we're going to shock both areas. Dog jump over here, shock. Here, shock. Finally, the dog just laid down. Just laid down. That is the attitude of helplessness. And there are a lot of people. You jumped over on this side. And it didn't work. Problems. So you jumped over here. Problems. It ain't working. So you know what you've done? You just laid down and said, I'm just going to take it. I thank God for that woman who said, I ain't taking this. Out of money, out of doctors, but I'm not out of hope. You came to church today so that you could hear this message. You are not out of hope. Lift your head up. Confess with your mouth. I believe in God. I believe he's going to get me to where I need to be. I'm going to lift my head up. I got another day. I'm going to search. And if I don't find it today, guess what? I'm going to look again for tomorrow. Because while I'm looking, God's also looking for me. You are not helpless. You are not helpless. Amen. You lift your head up. God made you just like he made everybody else. No, things might not have gone wrong. Yeah, you jumped over here and got, oh, my goodness. Jump over here. Oh, my goodness. Don't lay down. Don't lay down. Don't lay down. You get up. Start confessing. I trust in God. And I know he cares for me. Bow in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I know that I've taken this message. I receive it, Lord. But somebody else might need to receive it as well. I pray you'd open their heart. Let them receive it. And let them move forward in their faith because of the goodness of God. Thank you now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Going to give the invitation. I don't preach too long. Y'all up there listening and let me, y'all just listen too long. That's what you did. Now we're messing with the Sunday school time. I'm going to ask we all stand. And if there be one, I'm going to invite you to come. If there be one. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. I'm going to ask Reverend Gibbons to come up and bless our offering for us. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give.
Worthy to be praised. Yes. Father God, we are so thankful for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the gift that you have given us, your Son. And Father, as we return a portion of that which you have given us, may we give it out of love and not out of gratitude and not out of anger. Father, we thank you for what you've done in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
How you spoke to our hearts this morning. Father, we come in desperate need, not because of our own, because of the things that we do, Father.
Yes.
We pray that you'll continue to speak to our heart, guide us and direct us in all that we do and say.
Yes.
Father, we're giving because we love you.
Yes.
And we thank you for all that you've done.
Yes.
For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen.